You are listening to a presentation of Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, go to streamschurch.org.
Morning. Man, there are a lot of guys here, huh? Alan took my thunder. I had like this great joke about all these guys and no women and everything, but that's okay. We'll skip it. Probably wasn't that good. My name's Jeremiah. I'm just a guy. So if you're visiting, whatever, you won't really probably ever see me again. Don't judge anything by this morning. Unless you like it, then I'm here every week. But I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, not anything that like Jason and Lloyd and all these guys. I didn't go to any kind of Bible school, definitely didn't study. Yeah, even for a semester or whatever. And the truth is I don't want to be a pastor, and I don't want to be a preacher, and I don't want to go to Bible school. Not like the way that we think about it, right? Like as far as a pastor and a preacher and all those things. Like I like public speaking, but I don't like this. I'm not very comfortable with this. It's really unnatural, right? Like you don't typically have like 50, 100, 200 people just sitting staring at you waiting for you to say something. This is not like a natural conversation, right? So today, it's a little bit new. It's a little bit different, right? It was amazing, by the way. Right? Right? It's awesome. So we're going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to do things a little bit different. I was a little nervous doing it, but then Lloyd got sick. He's not even here, so I can do whatever I want. But I love him, and I will honor him, and so I will contain it. But before we do something new and different, let's do something familiar. Let's actually read the creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let me skip all that because we just read it. I was going to read it here, but they never follow the slides the same. And so, like, I've been in the audience for 6 weeks trying to read along with the speaker, and you're waiting for the slide to change, and you don't know the next line. So I just read with those slides, right? So if you are new or you're visiting, you've been sick and you haven't been here for a while, we're in this series now, the Creed, right? And we've been reading the Apostles' Creed and breaking it down line by line, right? And making it more than just something you memorize and talk about. We've really been talking about what it means and whether or not these are really the things that we believe in. And if so, what does that mean? And so last week, Jason was up here and he talked about how God wants to start a revolution. He wants to bring a revolution to our neighborhoods, to our country, to the world, right? But it's a different kind of revolution. It's not the kind that we see on the news. It's not the kind that we read about in books. It's different. It's peace and love. It's soft and it's gentle, right? And he talked about in the book of John, right, at the end, when Jesus and Peter are talking, and Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" And Jason went through how the questions change each time, because really what Jesus is doing in that story, he's challenging Peter's heart. He said, "I heard your words. I don't care about what you say. I'm asking about how you feel," right? And he's gently challenging. He said, "Do you really love me? I know you say you do. Do you really love me?" He says, "I hear the words you speak, but I want to know your heart." And I think, like, how appropriate of a story, how appropriate of a reminder is that when we're in this series, well, what we're doing is reading words and professing beliefs, right? And so I think this morning what God wants to do, he just wants to ask you gently. He wants to challenge you. Do the words of your mouth, when you say this creed, when you read it, when you recite it, does it match up with your heart? You say you believe in God the Father. Do you really? And you believe in Jesus Christ the Son, and you believe in the Holy Spirit. You believe these things, but do you? Do you really? So that's what we're going to go through today. We just have one line that I get to focus on, and it is, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Should be easy, like one line out of the whole creed. Like this should be quick and easy, no big deal, right? Except it's like, it's the Holy Spirit. But this is crazy, right? Like, why'd they give the nobody guy this week? Like, this is where your one semester of Bible school comes in really handy. So let's do it different, right? Let's just throw this guy up here. Whatever. Who cares, right? I told you, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a pastor. I'm not trying to be a public speaker. Any of the guys that were here a couple weeks ago at men's events, you know, it was terrible. Right? But I think that God, he's saying, like, we're reciting this line, this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I think this morning he asked, do you? Do you believe in me? Do you even know what that means when you say that? Do you know who I am? Do you love me? Do you? And so if we go from John and all the other Gospels, and we just keep going, right? Alan was up here a couple weeks ago, and he talked about how Jesus had kept his scars to tell the story, to remind us of that love, right, and what he went through. And so let's just keep going in this story. Let's just keep moving in this story. And so we move out of the Gospels, and then Jesus ascends to heaven, and then we land in the book of Acts. Right? That's where the story now picks up, and that's where I'm going to be. If you want to turn to it, go ahead. I'm going to throw scriptures up on the screen. But in the book of Acts, we see that revolution that Jason talked about last week. This different way of kind of changing people and changing the way that we live, right? Through peace and love and truth. Not through brute force and intimidation and fear and all these things, right? I love reading the book of Acts. I love it, right? Like, I'm really kind of cynical anyways. I grew up not in church. I grew up kind of like, you know, thumbing my nose and hating, like, church people, like, all you people. Man, I hated you 10 years ago. You were what was wrong with the world, right? And so I look at in Acts and I think, man, if we could be like that, people wouldn't hate us. If we could be like that, right? Does anyone else look at the early church and think, like, man, that's where we need to get to it? Am I alone? Anyone else? Yeah. I have one hand. This is not like the dim the light, say a quiet prayer, like, let's be ashamed of our beliefs. Like, raise your hand, say, like, you believe, like, do you? Yeah, please. Then we're reading this creed. We're talking about what we believe. Do you? This is the safest place you can ever say, like, yes, I agree with that. I believe that. And we still won't do it. Like, there's like one person, amen, like, who said that? Come on, like, seriously, let's just do something different, right? Like, you never heard anybody rap in church before. Women are going to get back, they're not going to believe what happened. You would not believe it. They were rapping in church, and it was awesome. But we look at the early church, and that's like who we aspire to be like. Man, everything that's wrong with the church today, if we could just get back to what it was, you know, in the book of Acts and in the early days what the disciples did, man, if we could just get back to that. So if that's the example, does anyone think we're there? This, you can also show hands and say, yeah. Like, anyone think we're there? No, right? It's kind of clear that we're not there. So what's the difference, right? Like, what are we missing? What did they do that we don't do? What do they have that we don't have? So I read through the book of Acts and you look at it, right? And what do I see? Like, they all live together. They eat together all the time. They gave up everything they had. They shared everything they had. They spoke in tongues and they saw miracles. People healed, the dead raised, and they just traveled and just preached the gospel, and they got put in prison and they endured and they died and all these things, right? And that's what we look at. We look at all these things they did and we think, man, we need to do that in our church. We need to get together and eat together more. We need to pray until the Spirit comes and there's tongues of fire on our head and we're speaking in tongues, and we need to preach to everybody we see. We need to change the world, right? And we start ministries and we start programs and we do all these things because we want to be like the early church. And I suggest that's not the point. That's not the point of the early church. We can do all those things. Those things happen. People are saved. People preach. People are raised from the dead. Believe it or not, it still happens today. That's not what's different in the church. I think there's something else that we should be focusing. It's not what they did. It's how they did it. It's why they did it. That, to me, I think is the difference, right? And so they had this amazing relationship with God that I read about and I'm jealous of. And my first thought is, yeah, well, that's because they walked with Jesus for 3 years. they literally like walked with him and ate with him and talked to him and listened to him. And like, man, if we had that now, this church, oh man, we would be changed. I know I struggle day to day with what I do and what I say, but man, if I could just get one day, I get one day with them. I don't even need 3 years. I have one day. I would never turn back. But have you read the Gospels? Do you look at the example of the disciples when Jesus was here with them? Their example was failing, losing, being dumb. Like, they looked a lot like us when they were with Jesus. I know, like, a lot of us think that's the answer. Man, if Jesus was here, man, we would be so different. Like, newsflash, like, disciples looked like us. They were dumb and slow and didn't see a lot of fruit in their life when they walked with Jesus. That's not when this early church began to bloom and blossom and the world changed. That's not when it happened. So I'm going to go through this book real quick. I'm going to probably rattle off a lot of scripture here. There's some of them up there, all through Acts. See if we can find a pattern, right? So an Ananias comes to the disciples. He has this money. He sold all the stuff. He wants to give them all the money. But he held some of it back. He just gave him some of it, right? He wanted to keep some. And they say to him, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then we know the story. He died. He dropped dead. And then his wife steps up. Same thing, right? She's holding that money. And they say, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? This is in Acts 5:9. You keep going in chapter 5, so 5:32. When the disciples are on trial, right? And they say, we are his witnesses, talking about Christ. We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. And then if we keep going through Acts and we get to the story of Stephen, and he's talking to the crowd before he's stoned in 751, Acts 751, and he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit. This is what he says to them. And then later on, we keep going through Acts, and then Peter, and he tells them, the Spirit told me to go with them. And then there's a prophet later in Acts, in 11:28, there's a prophet, Agabus. And they said, one of them showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine. And then we keep going, right? Acts 13:4, in Paul's first mission, when his life is first changed, right? When he's first saved, he says, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Maybe you see the pattern that's emerging here? Yeah, you see it. Paul sees it. Paul's a smart guy. You guys should sit next to Paul. They knew God. They spoke to him. They spoke for him. They knew him so well that they didn't have to even hear him speak. They just knew. Right? So in Acts 15:28, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good. Right? Like they knew what was going on. Like, oh yeah, yeah, God likes that. Holy Spirit likes that. Yeah, we know him, right? Like, if you tell me something, I can tell you if my wife is going to like it or not. I don't have to ask her. I know. But if you don't know if Paul likes it, I don't know. I don't really know Paul that well. I just know he's smart. But keep going through Acts. There's more. 16:6 says they were forbidden, the disciples, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. In Acts 16:7, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. In Acts 18:5, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified. In Acts 19:2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? 19:21, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Macedonia. And then in Acts 20:23, the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city, this is Paul talking, like, I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to suffer, but the Holy Spirit, every city I go to, he keeps telling me, right? Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. This is the pattern. That's the example I think that we miss. It's not the what they did. Because truth is, we could all leave right now, we can walk through the streets, we can tell people what we know. We can pray for people to be healed, they might be healed, they might not. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. We can do those things. It's not the acts that we're missing. And if it is, I think it's even deeper than that. It's that why. It's the how they were able to do it. It's because they were in relationship with God. It's because they knew the Holy Spirit. And so the difference between us now and then is this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Like, why is that changed? When you're talking about a relationship, there's only two parts to it. If you're talking about our relationship with God, there's us, there's God. That's it, right? And if something has changed, one of those two things has to have changed. I'm not even going to get into the idea that it's God. God hasn't changed. I know there's people that have other beliefs and there's whatever, all that stuff going on. I'm not even going to get into it. God has not changed. It's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He was, he is, he will be. He's God. He hasn't changed. It's not his fault. So there's only two. It's only us and God. It's not God. Wow, I almost said that was God and pulled it down. That would have been terrible. If it's us and God, it's not God. It's us. We have changed. But why? How? Right? Like the disciples, like they didn't have a great society. There was sex and drugs and temptation and there's all those things still. Like I know we think, oh man, we have it so hard. We're living the hardest times. Maybe some of that's true, but that's not what's changed. It's us. So let's have a little fun here, right? I have, we were talking earlier about the new MacBook, right? How small it is and light it is and everything. I have it right here. Look how light and airy it is. You can hardly even see it. I'm going to do a Google search of my new MacBook Air. I'm going to do a Google search for God the Father. Has anyone done this? Anyone ever Google search God the Father? You see what comes up when I do that. Bruce. Tick. Oh, look how good this MacBook thing is. This is what you get when you Google search God the Father. Clearly, you get pictures of God the Father. I wanted to walk up and down the aisles. I wanted to ask you guys specifically, tell me what God looks like. Everyone was smiling at me, said, don't do that. You don't know what people are going to say. It's a bad idea. So I didn't do it. But I would guess if I had, I would have got old, beard, robe, clouds, maybe sandals, equal parts fat and muscle, maybe bald. I don't know where the bald God comes from, but man, if you're bald, God loves you, right? But this is what we would get. This is our working assumption of what God looks like, right? What about Jesus? Let's do the same thing. Super MacBook, boom. Boom, off it so fast. It gets faster, too. This is Jesus. We know this is Jesus. I ask you, what does Jesus look like? All right. He's like 30, long hair, a beard. Again, robe and sandals. God, like, loves robe and sandals. I hope he can be like jeans and toms because I'm not a robe and sandal guy. But this is Jesus, right? Like, if you would believe all this, bottom left, you know, if you see it, he looks kind of like Kenny G, actually. So that... maybe that's why he's like the most popular alto, whatever. I don't know what he plays, right? Like, why do none of us care about that instrument, St. Kenny G? Maybe it's because he looks so much like Jesus. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. But this is clearly what Jesus looks like. We know this. We pray to Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We think about him. We have a mental picture, right? Whether it's conscious or not, we picture him, a man, a person. We understand it. Let's get back onto this search. Let's search for the Holy Spirit. Let's do a Google image search for Holy Spirit and see what we get. Oh. What? So, like, God is a bird? And I would guess that if I had been bold and walked up and down the aisles and asked you to tell me what Holy Spirit looks like, I would probably get a dove. Maybe a wind, a fire, a tongue, something. You would give me a something. Yes, probably. It's okay, admit it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're probably not right. They're not the same thing. I'm never wrong, but I'm not right a lot. But this is the working assumption of what Holy Spirit looks like. It's what it looks like, right? Right now, you feel that gut check? It's because you know you talk about it. So God is an old man, he's a young man, and he's a bird. You buy that? Does it make sense? Oh, when it's in your face, it doesn't make sense, huh? But when you're praying and talking about it, it sure does make sense, huh? So why? Why is God a bird? Because of one line in the Gospels, right? We know this story. Jesus comes and is baptized by John, and all of the disciples that wrote the Gospel, they all say, he descended upon him like a dove. Now, there are hundreds of scriptures about Holy Spirit throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, but this one, for some reason, that's it. Like, oh, whew, thank you. I just want to know what he looked like. He's a dove. I'm so relieved. Now I can pray to my bird god. It's funny. It's true. So why do we do that? Why do we hang on to this verse? Why do we... I'm going to even just get past the fact. I'm going to forget about the fact that we've all at least completed third grade. And we've all learned what a simile is. You know, when you use like or as to compare something or describe it with something that it is not. So, like a dove is inherently in that statement. Well, he's not a dove. But the way in which he descended, it reminded me of the way a dove descends. And that's how I would describe it, right? But we turn that into, oh, he's a bird. Why? Because the way our brains work. Go back to those Gospels, the disciples. They were dumb. They lived with Jesus. They talked to him. They didn't get it. We're dumb. We don't get it, right? They saw this happen. When we see something new or we have new information, we try to associate it with something familiar. That's the way our brains work. If it seems familiar, our brains will accept it as truth and we will learn it better. Right? This is why we have all this metaphors and all this language like this. We want to make things familiar. And so when we see something new, like, I don't know, the Spirit of God descending from heaven onto the Son of God, maybe I've never seen that happen before, and I don't know how to describe it. And I'm like, oh, it was like a dove. Yeah, it was like a dove. You ever seen a dove? And then we get into this all backwardsness, right? Like, you guys, anyone out here, a parent, or maybe an older brother or sister, or you have younger siblings, or you have children, and then you meet one of their friends, and they say, man, you look just like your daughter. You talk just like your little brother. No. Wait a minute. Let me explain to you. I came first. They are like me. I'm not like them. But somehow the disciples saw this happen. They saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus. And they're like, man, he's like a dove. And God's like, wait, whoa, no. I'm not like a dove. A dove is like me. Right? Like this scripture, they should go, he descended in a way which I can't describe except I've seen a dove and now I know that the way a dove descends is like the Holy Spirit. Right? That's the truth, but that was too wordy. I'm like, hey, can you cut that up? No one's going to remember that. But that's what it was. He wasn't a bird. It reminded me of a bird. And now I understand, like, when I see birds fly, why I love to watch it. But that's the way the Spirit descends. Like, come on, stop it. Look, he's a bird, man. We'll use it as a simile. People will know he's not actually a bird. We'll talk about him in all the rest of the book, man. They'll get it. Don't worry. No one's going to think he's a bird. But we're dumb. We think he's a bird. He's not a bird. He's not a thing. It's just something that they had never seen before. They didn't know how to explain it. They didn't know how to grasp it, right? Same way that after like all these thousands of years of art and literature and everything, we come up with like a roly-poly, bald, bearded man as God. I don't know. Maybe that is what it looks like. I don't know. But I think it's silly like to propose that, but we accept it blindly, right? Because it's familiar. Same thing, like, I'm not going to get into this either, but Jimmy probably wasn't white, man. I know as like white people, we feel good about that, but we'll just accept it like it makes sense. It looks like me. Whew, I like that God, right? It's familiar. So let's get back. So this is what's different with us. We don't understand the Spirit. We don't relate to him as a person. That's what's missing, right? When the disciples were left, when Jesus ascended and they were left just to pray and wait for the Spirit to come, Jesus said, it is better for you. There are verses, there are translations that not only say it's better, it's best. It's best that I leave and that he comes. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, they understand. Jesus said, it's another like me. This is God, man, with you, in you. And they understood the person of God and they spoke to him. And they listened to him. They knew his voice. They understood he was God. They didn't talk about it. They talked about him. So you want to know what the difference is between now and then? Man, we have taken God and we have diminished him into this thing, this power, this entity. Whether we consciously or meaning, like on purpose, if we do it or not, we talk about him in ways that we only talk about what he does. Or what he can do for me. Not the person, man. A lot of us came from a church or came from a background where we felt used. They didn't care about who you were as a person. Or what you could do, what you could offer, how you could help them. And when that changed or diminished or you failed at all, they rejected you. And we do the same thing to God every day. We diminish him down to only what he can do in our lives. And so if I go through a bunch of verses, in Romans 8:27 clearly states about the Holy Spirit, he has a mind. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, he has a will. In Romans 15:30, Galatians 5:22, he has emotions. In Acts 9:31, he comforts. In Hebrews 3:7, he speaks. And actually, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says he speaks clearly. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, he teaches. In Ephesians, he can be grieved. You can cause him to feel sorrow. In Hebrews, he can be insulted. In Acts, he can be resisted. He can be lied to. These are attributes. These are characteristics. These are personality of a person. Not a human, a person. You can't lie to a bird. You can't offend the wind. I understand what it says in the Gospels when Jesus was baptized. Holy Spirit is not some it. He is a person. He is the third person of God. Second person, first person, I don't care. That's the other thing, man. We rank all the time. Well, it's God, Son, Spirit. So God's the best. That's what I want. Jesus, well, he'll get me to God. That's okay. And Spirit, well, you know, you can, I don't know, you can help me learn Spanish or make somebody feel better. So, you know, help me out, right? We rank them. Like, he's fully God. If you are in awe of Christ and what he did on the cross and how much he loves you, then you better get down on your knees and be in awe of the Holy Spirit. That first week when we were talking about the Creator, God the Creator, created this beautiful earth and he loved you, man, you better worship the Spirit. Go back to Genesis. Spirit of the earth was over. Spirit of the earth is terrible. Spirit of the Lord was over the earth. The Spirit was there. Like distinctly. And holy God. Not some bird, not some spirit, man. Like how many of you we're up here watching Johnny and these guys and Victor and everything and thinking, man, they are in the Spirit. They're in the Spirit, man. This place is filled with the Spirit. God, fill me with Spirit. Give me. I want more. I want more Spirit. I want more. Like it's this thing. Like it's some gift. Like it's some another thing to acquire and accumulate and consume. How many people came to church and say, Holy Spirit, how can I give myself to you even more? How can I love you more, man? Like, I love you, right? Maybe we think that way about God and even picture the Father or the Son. How many of us forget or we don't acknowledge the Spirit in the same way? You don't know why you feel empty or different than the disciples or like something's missing? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Do you? This is what God is asking you this morning. Do you? Do you know me? Do you love me? Not some bird, not some wind, some entity, some force. Do you even know who I am? Have you even talked to me today? Jesus shared that story last week of the Roman guard and he got the robe from Jesus. And in it, it created this conflict in his heart he couldn't resolve. And he had to know more who Jesus was and what he said and what he did. I think we were talking about it earlier this morning. I think a lot of times, for me, and I think a lot of people that speak, but I know for me, I think of like this time I get as like, okay, I got to change people. I got 20 minutes, I got 30 minutes, I got an hour. I got to change them. God told me this week, look, you can't change them. I'm not even trying to change them in 30 minutes. I want you to put a conflict in their heart. I want you to ask them a question gently that would lead them to walk away asking themselves. You want to see your marriage just amazing. You want to know your kids. You want your kids to come and know you. You want to be able to talk to your neighbor without, you know, like, my wife and I were talking yesterday, like, a lot of times we just get home and close the garage door before we even turn the car off because, like, there's neighbors out front and then we complain about we don't know our neighbors, right? Like, you guys do that. It's Arizona. Everybody does that. You don't need to shake your heads. I know you do. We're terrible neighbors in Arizona. You want to change that? You want to be changed? You want to feel different? You want that revolution that Jason was talking about last week? Man, spend time talking to Holy Spirit. Listen to Him. Listen for Him. That's the example of the early church. That's the example of the disciples. John, I don't know where John is. If you guys want to come back up, give me a beat. I wish. Spirit is God. Not just like part of God or like God or from God. He's God. Father's on the throne. Jesus is at His right hand. The Spirit is with us. In us. Always. Everywhere. We talk about God is omnipresent, God is everywhere, that's Spirit. I know we like to think like Jesus and God the Father, they're everywhere, they're not. They're on the throne and at His right hand. When you feel God's presence, that's Spirit. Bless you. When you feel led to pray for someone, that's Spirit. Same way the disciples talked about, Spirit told me where to go. The Spirit is telling you where to go. He's gently leading you to talk to people, to say something. He will give you words. In Genesis 32, it's like my favorite scripture. So Jacob is renamed Israel because he wrestles with God throughout the night, right? This is what I want you to do. I want you to wrestle with God for this week and for every day moving forward. Because you cannot wrestle with someone from afar. You have to confront them. You have to engage with them. You have to admit they're a person. I don't want to change your mind. I just want you to feel conflicted in your heart. I want you to question what it was that you believe when you walk in today. I want you to talk to people about it. I want you to ask them questions. I want you to read the Word. I want you to Google search. Google's the greatest theologian ever. And I don't want to be the same, and I don't want to come to the same church. I don't want to know the same people. I don't want to have the same problems. I don't want the same thing. I want something new. I want something different. For me, for you, for everyone that's not here, for the women that are away, for the folks that are in their house right now, I want something different. Yes, I know you.
I don't like to speak in public, but when the Holy Spirit tells me I have to, I have to. Matthew 18:18, Jesus was talking to, I believe, two of the disciples, and He said to them, anything you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. And when I learned the change in my life, the Lord grew me up in my faith, and the prayer was, Lord, bind every spirit but the Holy Spirit in me right now. In Jesus' name, you don't have to say it out loud. There's power, there's authority in it. Changes lives, changes homes. We pray it, Anna and David South, my daughter and son-in-law, a lot of you know them. It's prayed over our home after a nightmare, after an anything, but we know when the Holy Spirit's missing at our house. Trust me, our home, from corner to corner, and toast to the women's Bible study. When Valerie was worn out, we needed Lloyd and Judy. Bless that home. That home was given over to the Holy Spirit about 6 years, 5.5 years ago. Lloyd and Judy walked each room and they claimed it. And it is claimed. Stake a claim on your home. Stake a claim on your family. Do not. I've been asked, how do I change this person? How do I change this family member? And you'll see astounding things when you accept. Do you know what unconditional love means of an adult? I'm not talking about children. My grandson Eric, they're 19 this year. I do not tell him what to do. He's an adult now. He's got to make his own decisions. But I pray over him, and I pray that anything I see in him, then I pray. And I say the Holy Spirit. I go into my prayer closet, and I go, I talk to God. I grumble to the Holy Spirit. I grumble to God. I take all that stuff. When I come out, then I vent it. It's gone. Holy Spirit's powerful.
Should we play that? And I know. Amen, right? You took my 30 minutes and you redeemed it with 3 minutes. Thank you. I don't believe in this quiet prayer. I believe these words. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I don't care who knows. I'm not ashamed of it. Anytime I'm somewhere, they say, oh, if you need healing, if you want to be closer to God, all these things that people think like, oh, those are the bad people. Raise your hand, step forward. You better believe I'm raising my hand. I can't get enough of him. I don't know him enough. I need to know him more. I need to give more. So we're going to pray that today. We're going to say, Lord, bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. Lord, bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a message from Streams Church in Goodyear, Arizona. Email any questions to streamschurch@msn.com. The mission of Streams Church is very simple: to lead people into their life calling, a relationship with Jesus Christ that is challenging, growing, and purposeful. For more information about service times, location, or events, go to streamschurch.org.